The Perpetual Breakaway Podcast, with your hosts Nick and Junior and producer Vince, bringing you elite fantasy hockey information to help you win your fantasy leagues and win at life.
Episode 86, the mock draft episode.
The Kucherov of episodes.
Ooh. Jack Hughes.
Tuevo Teravainen.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I love it. All right, we're starting off with a bang here.
Ooh. Banger. No. Because last year we did that. I was like, banger after, because you said the exact same thing. And I was like, banger really? After banger.
Banger after literally banger word for after word. Banger. Jesus. You will re-listen to that episode of our final mock draft.
I did. You know, that's how we learn, you know? That's how we get better the next week.
Well, this is the 2025 version of that mock draft. And we are very excited. We are going to have an odd man rush to begin. But after that, we're going to go in depth with our mock draft of where we think players will land. And guaranteed, we will be 100% wrong. Well, maybe we'll get the first one right. But that's a maybe.
Yeah. we'll get the first one right.
And further to that, I do have to remind everybody, we are not scouts. We are not draft experts. We read a lot on the drafts and the actual experts that are on the internet, and we get news from a bunch of different sources in order to come up with why a team is selecting what. Sometimes it's gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. And other times it's actually researched work. So we're excited to get this started because you know what? It's draft season, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most exciting time of the year.
Now, before we get to the draft,
it's also Stanley Cup finals time, so I should mention that part.
Yes. But before we get to the draft, let's do a little odd man rush segment.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's go. By the way, 4-1 Florida.
By the time people are listening to this episode, it won't matter. They'll know the final result.
All right, speaking of the Florida Panthers, guys, Vince, I'll start with you. What do you think of the Stanley Cup final so far? And do you have a winner in mind, or is it just too close to call?
Do I have one that I would like to win?
No, like just based off what you saw. So we already predicted the series a little bit, but
listen, I think Edmonton's getting hit with the injury bug, whereas Florida isn't. So there's a lot of key players for Edmonton that are going down. So at the end of the day, I really do want Edmonton to win. I think they can still win even with the injuries they got. But today's game, tonight's game, I mean, it was a given that Florida was going to come out flying. So that's it.
Well, you know what? From period to period, it seems that the momentum is just shifting. Mm-hmm. If you guys saw game two, it was literally first period was all Edmonton. Second period, all Florida. Third period, all Edmonton. And somehow it still ended up Florida's way in game two and they earned the split. It's been a lot of fun, though. It's good hockey we're watching really right now. This is the best finals, I think, that I've seen in a very long time, talent-wise.
And I know many complained about the break between the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals, but I think it leads to better hockey.
I think it's not only done, though, to rest the players. It's also done because of travel arrangements, right? And it's a very and they don't want to compete with the NBA either. They know where their niche is, so they're kind of keeping away from competing against other teams as well.
All right, ring that bell.
Bam.
All right, Nick. Canadiens and Penguins, according to Nick Kiprios of Sportsnet, are interested in Nick Hague of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not going to ask if there's fantasy relevance because I don't think there is.
In a banger league, there is.
In a banger league, there is. You're right. And what does that mean for a guy like maybe Struble or Jacki if they do acquire Nick Hague?
What does it mean for a Matheson? Right? We don't know. Nick Hague could play both sides. He has played both sides in Vegas in the past. The key here is what else are they going to... Like, Nick Hague is just one guy, and I think he's a great player for the Habs real life. Fantasy-wise, like we said, might not have a lot of impact outside of a blocker and hits league.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're talking about a 6'6", 215-pound behemoth. This guy would be a great replacement for David Savard in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly how they're looking at it. Now, does that mean that Arbor Jackai maybe is out, Struble's maybe out? Yeah, sure. But guys, we're not talking about a top four guy here. We're talking about a, you know, number five on a Stanley Cup winning team.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 5-6. I'm surprised Pittsburgh is interested in him because
their defense is atrocious.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like if he goes to Pittsburgh, he'll be playing out of his, like with Montreal, we'll know he'll play as a number
probably four five, for now.
Six.
Yeah.
But with Pittsburgh, I feel he might have to play like a 3 or a 2.
You put a 6'6" behemoth like that next to a Lane Hutson.
Yeah, but that's too high for him to play on that. If you're putting Lane Hutson as number one.
Right, yes.
The reason I asked in particular was also because what does that mean for Rheinbacher or Engstrom that are, you know, maybe supposed to make the jump next year? They're either not ready or there's moves to be made.
I don't think,
you know,
it has to do with them. I think we have to worry more about Struble and Jackai. That those are the guys that played a lot this year, and maybe Montreal is feeling like they're not the guys to play in the second or third pairing. So that's why, because Rheinbacher is going to have his place in the second pairing of defensemen for Montreal.
I'm looking at a guy like Matheson, right? His contract is nearing its end. I think there's one more year left. I should double check that before I mention it. But if Matheson is a trade candidate this year at the deadline, might be a way to, you know, you have you get him out of the left side.
Yeah.
And you put Nick Hague
in. Yeah, but I just fantasy-wise, like Nick said, if you're in a banger league, it might be relevant, but or else it's not very relevant.
Matheson's on his final year.
Yeah, so that could be a trade piece. We'll see.
All right, sticking with the rumor mill, word out of Colorado is that perhaps Natchez is not happy with the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. So this could be really terrible news for the Colorado Avalanche, considering this is what they got in return for Rantanen. So Vince.
Yeah.
Natchez wanting out of Colorado.
I don't know why he would want out of Colorado, because they play a system that kind of benefits him, right? Offensively. So I don't know why he would want out of Colorado unless he thinks the Nelson signing is a threat to him.
Well, okay. I don't think so. It probably has to do with stylistic and fit and who he's around. Maybe even the environment, right? You move to a city that you don't really like. Mm. Maybe he doesn't like Colorado. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, if there's a rumbling that he doesn't want to be there, or if he's having contract negotiations and he's not too sure what they're going to be offering him, that's going to be another possible trade candidate for the draft.
Exactly.
Right? You never know.
So what I heard,
it makes the draft a lot more exciting.
I heard was, he told Carolina, I'll sign an extension with you at the time, but I'm not going past my UFA. He's like, I'm signing a 2-year deal. If you want me to sign, I'll sign a 2-year deal that leads me into UFA. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to wonder if maybe that's what's happening in Colorado. He wants to test out free agency.
Okay. Well, it's his right.
Absolutely. And one more, the final one, the most important one. Why? Because we need to mention him once an episode until he signs.
And we have this team on our whiteboard.
On the bet board. All right, Mitch Marner. According to sources, Anaheim is willing to pay up to $14 million a season. Wowzer! What is there a legit chance he's willing to go to Anaheim? Like Ryan from Starcastic predicted on our whiteboard there. Or is this just them saying, I'll offer you the most money out of everybody and hopefully that'll work?
I'm starting to think Ryan from Sarcastic actually knows what he's talking about compared to the rest of us. You know, we're the, what did the caller say? ECHL version of fantasy podcasting. But yeah, I mean, Anaheim has the cap space. They have the young team. I just don't know if they're really ready to compete this year. And that kind of gives me pause to think that Marner would want to go there.
It all depends where Marner's head is at. Basically, is he in the position of, I just want the big bag of money and that's it? Or is he in the position of, I want to compete for a cup? You know, so it's because I mean, let's see how it is. Anaheim is not competing for a cup in the next 4 to 5 years, right? Even with Marner there.
Well, I mean, it'll speed up.
It'll speed up the process, but it won't. Marner is not your playoff guy. That's gonna, like, he wasn't a playoff guy for Toronto. He's not gonna be a playoff guy for Anaheim.
No, but Anaheim needs to get into the playoffs.
Get there. Yes, and he'll exactly do that. Use a Marner to get there.
He'll do that.
But that's what I'm saying. But if Marner,
but I don't see
if Marner
see
is more, I want to win compete, the cup.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, versus I want the bag of money, then I don't think Anaheim is
the only thing I could see as a positive is that it's a weaker
path,
right? Yeah. So their competition is a little bit weaker
in the division, maybe, but they still got to get because if Dallas, he's going, Winnipeg, Colorado. Yeah.
If he's going for the bag, then he
can. In the West, you're saying in total.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who's in their actual division? It's the Pacific, isn't it?
Edmonton, LA.
Vancouver, no?
Edmonton, Vancouver LA.
Doesn't look like it's
Edmonton, competing. LA, Vancouver. Yeah, so.
We should probably check this before actually mentioning it on the podcast.
Edmonton and LA were second and third. Who won the division? Vegas.
I think it's Vegas.
It's Vegas.
Oilers, yeah. Flames, Canucks, Ducks.
Okay, so Seattle, Oilers, obviously, they're a cup contender right now. So yeah. Let's move that out of the way.
Oilers is the only team that made the playoffs.
Flames are rebuilding.
No, what do you mean? There's three teams that make the playoffs in the division.
Okay, so no. Let me see more.
It's guys, LA played Edmonton in the first round.
Golden Knights, Kings, Oilers.
So Golden Knights, we know already that they're a cup contender, right? Year after year. Oilers are a cup contender. The Kings
could be a...
Right? Yeah. But there's not much else. The Flames look like they're rebuilding, mm-hmm. like I said. The Vancouver Canucks look like they're rebuilding.
Their
Kraken
competition,
don't look like they're a playoff contender yet.
Their biggest competition could probably be San Jose.
But that's years away still.
Years away, yeah.
Right? So if he wants to go to a weaker division, I think this is where you look. I don't know.
If he's going for the bag, there's a lot more team possibilities than if he's going for a contending team. That's all there is.
There was also a coaching hire, I believe, that happened since the last episode, wasn't
it? Well, Lalonde was hired as an assistant coach to Berube in Toronto.
Right, yeah.
And there was Roy's two assistants.
Roy hired Bugner and... Lalonde?
No, not Lalonde.
Someone else, but nothing major in terms of names. Okay. Oh, wait. No, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And the Boston
right.
Bruins. So the Pittsburgh Penguins signed, is it Muse?
Yes.
He was an assistant coach in Nashville.
Yes, Muse.
And Marco Sturm,
for Boston.
Head coach right. for the Boston Bruins. What do we make of these two? So Muse has a big development path. Mm-hmm. So he's more of a developing coach. And Dubas said on the post that the Penguins did, as Dubas introduced him to the scouting team and the whole staff, basically said they wanted someone who was able to develop the young guys but still have a good relationship with the older guys. And that's why they chose him out of the whole group.
Basically, that means...
Doesn't it sound like a rebuild?
Basically, that means we're rebuilding, but I don't want to tell my superstars that we're rebuilding.
I think they know. I think they know already. I mean, Crosby
choice.
And Malkin. Malkin's going to retire after this season.
Yeah, Malkin is staying at Pittsburgh.
Crosby's the only other guy, and he's going to be like a secondary coach to help out the coach, right?
I don't know, man. I think Crosby might, at trade deadline, he might ask for a trade.
I really don't see it. I think he wants to retire a Penguin. Yeah.
The other coaches, by the way, were Ray Bennett and Bob Bugner.
Anything on Marco Sturm and the Bruins?
Marco Sturm and the Bruins. It sounds like they're not going to be necessarily a rebuilding team. I think they're going to try to retool on the fly like Washington did, which is not easy to replicate. But this offseason is going to be very interesting. There's names out there. By the way, Florida that Junior mentioned for Marner, I just wanted to go back to that for a quick second. There's rumors also that the whole speech at the end that Paul Maurice did at the end of the Toronto series, where saying that the media is too hard on these guys and whatever, this is all pitches to Mitch Marner to get him into Florida. So we'll see.
Music to my ears.
Yeah.
Guys, that does it for a very quick Men Rush.
Let's get into the mock draft.
No, hold that thought.
Ugh.
We need to update the Partial Breakaway Battle Royale Fantasy Hockey Playoff Pool. Oh,
who has the standings?
Uh, No, I won't give in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Vince, I guess.
You do it. I don't have access to it. I'm not that
important. So this is with the updated points of today. Listener Rooks is still in first, but the lead is now only 7 points, 2 points. Second place, Listener Umbi. Third place, Listener Tino, 10 points behind. And still in last, still in fourth. I don't know what the heck he's doing. with 65 points, which is a whole 24 points behind the lead. None other than co-host Nick.
Hey, guys, I made it to the finals. Let's just put it that way, all right? The fact is that I actually really liked my team. You know, I have Bennett, who's killing it. I have Lundell, who's doing pretty decent for a third liner. And I have Barkov, who's kind of sleeping at the wheel a little bit.
And, well, Schmid's been pretty good.
Schmid's been doing good in the finals.
And Darnell Nurse, well, he hasn't done much.
No, Darnell. So it's Barkov and Nurse that are killing me here.
Barkov, yeah, Barkov is killing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, guys, that's about it. Do you hold any hope whatsoever in
right
a comeback?
Right now, I'm actually messaging the rest of the pool to let them know that what's
you're in
happening
last place
to my team. It's so sad. It's so sad. All right.
Yeah. So, guys, that does it. And
Listener Rooks is killing it.
Yeah, quick note. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did play tonight, which okay. He was maybe not going to, which was going to hurt Listener Rooks. But he did play. Only one shot on goal. But I'm sure he's not 100%.
Yeah, same. All right, it is time for our... Yes, you're absolutely right. I'm going to leave it off to Junior first, and then we'll do the rest later.
The fastest game on the ice just hit another gear. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Final, where legends are made and every shift could turn the tide. And now, with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can take every slap shot, breakaway, and overtime thriller to the next level. New to betting on the Stanley Cup Final? You're in for an exciting time. Getting started is a breeze. Fire up the DraftKings Sportsbook app, pick your team to win, lock in your wager, and you're off to the races. It's fast, simple, and puts you right in the middle of the action. So let's take a look here on what DraftKings has available. You could actually start drafting. You could actually start betting on the draft like Nick decided to do last week. You decided to give a pick on who would be picked third overall.
That's right.
What I'm going to do is actually, I'm going to tell you that Caleb Desnoyers will not be picked in the first four picks of this draft.
You could do that?
So there's an over-under of 4.5 on draft position for Caleb Desnoyers. And I'm going to go on the over. It's at -105, so it is the favorite. But I kind of feel strongly about it because I do think him playing in the queue will actually drop him a little bit. But I still think he's a top 10 pick. Yeah, so that's it.
That's
so here's the kicker, though. New customers who bet just $5 will score $300 in bonus bets. If their wager hits, that's right. Turn $5 into a Stanley Cup final payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. That's promo code THPN to unlock $300 in bonus bets when your $5 bet wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Surprised I didn't stutter more.
Stutter. Talking about stuttering.
I'm surprised I didn't stutter more. You did great, Junior. You did great. We still love you in this podcast. At least some of
us. Hey, guys, look, how about this layout? Wow.
Look at that. We're getting
for those of you watching on YouTube, we are starting our mock draft here. And I'm going to be hosting the mock draft, although really it's all of us chipping in. We're going to have an order here. We already did our 100-yard dash randomizer before the episode started. Vince is going to be picking first for the Islanders. Then I'm going to be picking...
You're picking first. I'm picking second.
Oh, shoot. I'm picking first for the Islanders, sorry. You're picking second for San Jose. And then so Junior picks third for Chicago. And then we keep going like that. Now, we will be spending a little bit more time on the top 10 picks, giving more information that we've gathered through our many different websites and 1,000 pages open here in front of us. And then later on, we're going to be going a little bit faster, more gut feeling of who we think your favorite team is going to pick. So let's just get it started. Yeah, let's get it started. So yeah. The Islanders are going first.
Just so that fans know or the listeners know, we're using FC Hockey, which is a cool interactive draft board. So you guys can see exactly who we're picking, who we're choosing to pick in the first rounds. So it's actually free and it's actually really cool. So it's NHLEntryDraft.com, and it's nice.
I will give a little caveat as well, ladies and gentlemen. We are not draft experts. We are. All the information that we have here is obtained through the different websites that we pay for. There are a couple of websites that are free as well that we use. And we're going to get started. The reason I'm doing this is because we're going to get all of this wrong.
Yeah, that's going to be the result.
That's going to be the result of this mock draft. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Mock Draft 1.0. Getting it started myself. Islanders, you are on the clock. They will take the full 4 minutes here to decide between Michael Misa and Schaefer. Now, I know Higgins is also a lifelong Islanders fan, season ticket holder, and would love to be drafted first overall by the Islanders. We're not going to do trade outs.
Okay.
But there are possibilities in the real NHL when it happens, which we will be live, by the way, for the full 3.5 hours, again, as we did an annual tradition last year, where we actually started falling apart near the third hour. And the Islanders are going to go ahead and pick Matthew Schaefer. Now, if you don't know who Matthew Schaefer is, I think you've been sleeping under a rock or living under a rock, because Matthew Schaefer is the highest graded prospect. He's the highest graded on elite prospects. He's the highest graded for Scott Wheeler as well. And he's really... I was scared of injuries, but I think the Islanders, at the end of the day, they realize how important it is to have a defenseman that could be a number one, that could carry the play. And pairing them up with a Dobson, or even separating them and having a Dobson on one pair and Schaefer on the other, might be too much to pass up. Personally, I would have liked them to go with Misa, but I am predicting what's actually going to happen here and not what my preference would be. So I'm saying Schaefer all the way here. 6'2", left-handed defenseman from Erie. He projects as a comparison or a compared player is Heiskanen. So you are talking about minute cruncher, top line, top power play, top everything.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wanna run something by you. So 9 defensemen have been selected first overall in the NHL. Brian Berard, Chris Phillips, Dennis Potvin, Eric Johnson, Gord Kluzak. Why is Owen Nolan on this list? I'm not sure. Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, and Rob Ramage. Not many of those are number one overall worthy. And I wonder if that scares away some people, but I wouldn't even take Schaefer over Bouillem or Parekh of last year.
Mm. Ooh, I think you're.
So I think he's slightly better than Parekh. I think he's slightly better because he's more complete. But
yeah, much more complete.
But
I don't see Parekh playing 25 minutes a night.
Right.
But I see Schaefer playing 25 minutes a night.
Schaefer's comparison is at one point he'll captain the team. And so that
plays a role too, right?
Yeah, I mean, that gives you the leadership.
There's a reason that Buffalo, the scouting combine, all these guys are taking out for dinners.
Yeah,
you need to know who you're picking. You're exactly. investing so much into this person. You want to make sure that the person you're getting is actually a good person, and that plays a big role. Yeah. The personality, the way that they hold themselves up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders did have dinners with Higgins, Misa, and Schaefer.
Yeah,
so. Keep, you know, might be a surprise pick coming up. Who knows? All right, moving on to number two.
All right, here we go.
San Jose, you are on the clock.
All right, so I'm San Jose. Obviously, Schaefer would have been my first pick to match him with Sam Dickinson. Would have been like my top pairing defenseman for the next 20 years. But unfortunately, he's off the board. And I do have assets if I do to trade up, but we're not doing that right now. So to me, I think San Jose's preference is to have Celebrini as number one centerman and Will Smith as number two centerman. I think that's what they want. So we need to bolster the wings. They have Eklund already on the wing, but you need a Michael Misa. So to me, they would draft Michael Misa as a winger. And just because, I mean, the kid's 18, he's 6'1". 134 points in 65 games, 62 goals, 72 assists. Like, he's had an incredible, incredible year. His comparisons that we have here, he has explosive offensive ability. His hockey IQ is very, very high. That's why some people think he might actually go first. But his comparisons are Kaprizov and Kucherov, which are high comparisons to have. Is he going to hit that level? Listen, they're young, so we never know, right? But just to have a comparison like that means you have the talent to play in the NHL. And then to match it all with that, you're going to play either with Celebrini or Will Smith, which are two elite centermen already. So to me, it's a no-brainer for San Jose. I still think they have two other draft picks in the first, which I think they'd go probably defense on those. But I think for your second overall pick, you can't miss on this. And you have to bolster your offense. I mean, you have Toffoli there for a reason. He's a veteran. But for me, it's Michael Misa.
Yeah, the only thing is he's actually, I agree with you. I think I see him more as a winger than a center, even though he's not, his natural position is center. I think in the NHL, he might be more efficient on the mm-hmm. wing. But yeah, I think it's obvious, right? Picks one and two are Schaefer and Misa.
Yeah, I mean, according to Elite Prospects, you're talking about a dynamic, play-driving, dual-threat scoring center with exceptional skills, details, contact skills, machine-like motor. And these are like music to my ears. Every time I hear the machine-like motor, it makes me think of Max Crosby from the Raiders. But yeah, I just think that we can't go wrong with these two. I mean, these are the two obvious ones. They're going to go one and two. Which order that's going to be in, we'll see.
And him playing center is just an advantage because then they can play on their strong side for faceoffs.
Well, depending okay, on who. So let's talk about San Jose a little bit here because they have three guys. And like, if you add Misa to this, they have three guys that could play center or wing.
Yes.
Celebrini is your number one center. Misa could play center as your number two, or Will Smith could play center as your number two.
Exactly.
And then on the left, you could put Misa with Celebrini.
And Eklund with
Will Smith. Right? Like, you're talking about talent.
Yeah, exactly. San Jose is on the right track. Like we said, they're still a little weak on the defensive end with their prospects, but they can't go wrong with Michael Misa.
All right. Picking third, Chicago, you are on the clock.
Oof, this is a tough one, my
friend. This is a tough one. And wow. So, yeah.
This is where the draft really starts.
And if I had to pick.
You do have to pick.
No. If I was the GM of Chicago.
You are for this exercise.
I am. But they're not going to think like me. I would have went with
That's why you're not hired.
I would have went with Anton Friedel. But we'll get to him later when he is actually drafted in this
mock. He is the third rated prospect on the Wheeler's Athletic.
You'll have by to
the
way. Stop confusing people. Just make a pick and then explain it.
So Frank Nazar seems to have been established as a center. So that makes Berard and Nazar 1 and 2 center, which makes me want to go wing someone who could help Bedard. And who better to help Bedard than 6'3", 208-pound right winger from Brampton in the OHL, Porter Martone.
I love it.
Porter Martone is big. He's fast. He's very creative for a big guy. He's got a high compete level. And he's basically like a Matthew Nyes with slightly more skill. And that's pretty impressive. And I think that creates a lot of space for a Connor Bedard and could create a lot of goals actually for himself. Hockey Prospecting has him at 60% of being a star, which is for Hockey Prospecting standards, that's pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, Elite Prospects does have Porter Martone as the third best ranked prospect from the Brampton Steelheads. And I mean, if you're giving somebody like that to Bedard, that's pretty big. That's pretty cool. You know, Bedard is going to be happy with you. And I think that's also part of the equation, right?
And what would help me to make that decision, sorry to interrupt you, is just last year we saw they drafted for need. Mm-hmm. So if they're going for need, then it should be wing.
Yeah, I mean, look, Porter Martone, like you said, 6'3", 204, he's a big boy. He does have high-end skill, more of a passer than you would imagine. Right shot winger with size, strength. You know,
it just feels like the perfect fit on that line.
Yeah, know? It does feel like the perfect fit. You're absolutely right. What do you think?
Listen, Bedard needs help on that team. We know they tried to get Bertuzzi, they tried to get Teravainen this year, they tried to like get all these veterans to go, but he needs help. And he needs talent around him. So, and not only talent, but someone who can protect him. Like right now, I feel Bedard is being, he's not being targeted because he's playing on the Chicago Blackhawks, who basically don't mean nothing to the NHL right now. But as soon as Chicago starts competing, people are going to start, you know, going after Bedard. And with a Martone who's 6'6", at least you have a kind of talented enforcer there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Chicago should go towards there.
Well, with the fourth pick, we have the recently named Utah Mammoths on the clock. Well, Utah Mammoths, what do you need? I really like Logan Cooley. He plays for that team.
Sure, right? Sure does.
Thank you. I really like having a really talented Keller, but both of those guys are a little bit on the smaller side. So because they're a little bit on the smaller side, that's where I turn around and say to myself, well, wouldn't it be nice if I had maybe a little bit of a taller player, more physical player here? And Anton Frandell is 6'1". And a bit, and a quarter, 204 pounds. He plays against men. I think he's a real possibility here. I don't think they go with a Higgins route, who is very similar to Cooley and is very much comparable to Cooley. I think Anton Frandell just solidifies that second line center, which you need. It helps Cooley because Cooley is going to always be the top line guy, and it brings a little bit more to the mix. So I take Frandell here. What do you guys think?
I love it. I think Frandell has everything he need. He has the tool set to become a Kopitar, a Barkov. He has that tool set. And if I'm not mistaken here, Hockey Prospecting has him at 89% of being a star That is ridiculous. Now, look, he's nailed some picks and he's had some bad ones too. But you can't just rely on Hockey Prospecting's evaluations. But the one thing about Frondell, well, obviously he came off an injury. He had a slow start and was able to pick it up after. So, you know, injuries are always a question. But I absolutely love the guy. He's last year it was Booyam. This year he's my crush.
Utah is still in the type of retooling because their young guys are just starting to come up. They signed Simashev. So they're starting to
build. They signed a lot of big boys.
Yeah, they're starting to build their team right now. But their biggest missing aspect right now, which is on most teams, is a number two centerman. Barrett Hayton cannot be a number two centerman in the NHL. He's had his chance, and unfortunately with injuries, it hasn't come. So whether it's Higgins or Frondell, they have their number two centerman.
I think no matter who they pick between DeJuani, Higgins, and Frondell, all of those are options here. But their biggest need is absolutely second line center.
Exactly. So that, and that's why you start with that and then build around that. So I like the Frondell
pick. I will say that Elite Prospects has Frondell as their 13th best forward, so quite a way low. Whereas Scott Wheeler has him, Frondell, as their third best forward. So, like, there's a lot of volatility in this guy's projection.
Yeah.
And not everybody's in love with this player. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's my pick for the Utah Mammoth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the next pick. And that is pick number 5. Nashville Predators.
And this is where Nashville starts celebrating. Because whoever got picked, it really didn't matter. Because there's one position where they're struggling in. One position was never filled in their NHL inaugural season to now.
Very true.
And it's a number one centerman.
Well,
listen. Okay,
like, I guess Johansson.
Ryan Johansson was there, but
Rigel.
O'Reilly came in late.
So you have O'Reilly now?
But he was a trade.
It wasn't right. Drafted.
So, this player is going to benefit so much by getting drafted by Nashville, because I feel Nashville is going to be a team that's going to rebound next year compared to last year.
I feel like he's setting us up for like a curveball.
No. So, and the Marchessault trades talk that are going around, meaning that they want to liberate a center position. So you know they're going after a centerman.
Marchessault's winger, though.
He actually plays all three.
Huh. So to me, this pick is hands down James Higgins. I know he was going first overall until, you know, Schaefer came up, but he was there. He was the guy. He did not have a very good first season at Boston University. I think 27 points in 37 games. It's for a guy who was supposed to go first overall. It's not an excellent season, but the team he played with was also stacked with players. So Boston College, sorry. So I feel this is a good opportunity for him. Do I think he's going to play right away? That I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're going to send him one more year down, but the thing is, I don't know if Nashville can afford to send them down because they're in win mode now, right? So, but James Higgins is definitely an upside to what they have now, and to have a Philip Forsberg as your winger off the bat your first year, I mean, people dream of stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, according to Elite Prospects, dynamic skating, puck handling, full scoring arsenal is available to him. And he was a formal first overall stature, right? He has the ability to return to his play-driving ways. And so I agree with you that this could be a very good center in the NHL. Shades of Logan Cooley and Jack Hughes.
Yeah, that's the comparison I have is Jack Hughes. So if he does come out to that without the injuries, I mean, this is a home run for the Nashville Predators. Well,
look, he was projected top two pick, first overall for a while there last year. And, you know, he had a little bit of a disappointing campaign, if you will, this year. And his draft stock dropped. But it doesn't take away of how skilled he is and the potential he has, for sure.
All right. Next, we have the Michkov team. Who's going to play with Michkov? And that's, I think, the biggest question here for this team. Pick number 6 goes to the Philadelphia Flyers, Junior.
So the Philadelphia Flyers are ranked 18th, according to Wheeler, in their prospect pool. And their top-rated prospect, according to him, is Oliver Bonk, a right-handed defenseman.
Who we traded for in the DPR league.
He sure did. And then Luchenko, who they drafted last year, who many thought was a reach at the time. Then after that, their prospects 3, 4, and 5 are defensemen and goalies. So they have a lot of work to do. Couturier is not going to be there forever. Noah Cates, to me, is not a number one or a number two center. Neither is Ryan Poehling. They got to go center here. And I think they go... I know there's a lot of talk as we speak of them really liking Brady Martin. But I don't think that's the guy to draft now. Trade up for him if you want for a second on like another pick. You got to go with the sure thing, and that's Caleb Desnoyers. Caleb Desnoyers is 6'2", 178 pounds. He plays in the queue with Moncton. He's highly skilled and deceptive, great vision. And he's got a big frame and he plays big. And I think that's great for the Flyers type of hockey, especially with Rick Tocchet. And if he gets the center, Michkov, it's even better. So he does a lot of things right. He's definitely going to be an NHLer. And he's actually, the comparison I saw, he's a more skilled player than Sean Couturier, which I think was a fun assessment. So they got to go center. He's the next center available. It's Caleb Desnoyers.
Well, I'll add to that, saying that, you know, you compared him to Couturier. That's really exactly what was said by Elite Prospects here. A detailed 200-foot center with hard-nosed net front game. Doesn't that sound like a Philadelphia Flyer?
Yeah.
Right? Yes, he's not exactly the fastest person, but I don't think Philadelphia hasn't necessarily in their past been the fastest team, right? But I really like this pick here. I think it fits very, very well. The only thing that scares me is the fact that it's a QMJHL player. And QMJHL players, I think, are going to fall in this draft. But Philadelphia is indeed the pick here.
By the way, we just won some money.
Oh.
Caleb Desnoyers was pick 6. So if you listen to my bet.
Oh, there you go. Your DraftKings bet.
We would have won some money.
Promo code THPN.
I like you can't go wrong with Caleb Desnoyers. I think he has that sandpaper effect to his game that just brings out the Philly brawlers, right? And he's got enough talent to keep up with Michkov when the time comes to pair him with Michkov. So I think that's a great pick.
And I think the Flyers have 3 firsts. So if they really want that Brady Martin, they could trade. They have the assets to trade up for him a little later.
Next on the clock is a division rival. The Boston Bruins.
Wow.
They haven't been picking this early in a very, very long time. And I think that this team definitely needs to hit on this pick because it's not often that they get a top 10 pick. I really like a couple of people here. I'm considering Roger McQueen. I think that even Scott Wheeler says Boston could go out and consider Roger McQueen. But I kind of really like his pick. And I'm going to go with Brady Martin.
Wow.
You know, we could talk all we want about a top line center, and I don't think Brady Martin necessarily is going to be a top line center, but I do think
he'll be on that Boston team because
he would fit that Boston team really, really well. Mm. You know, so my pick here is Brady Martin. I'm just going to open up very quickly here.
So
he comes from the Sioux Greyhounds. Elite Prospects has them as the number 12. Prospect, there's a lot of
But in this range, it could be anybody.
Like last year, when Luchenko got drafted from Philly, he came out of nowhere. No one had him that high in their list. So
he's a playmaker who overwhelms opponents with monster forechecking ability and bone-crushing hits. Tell me that's not a big bad Bruin. Right?
The only thing is, like, I feel like, I don't know if you agree with me, Vince, they lack a little bit of offense now. And do you want to draft a Bruin or do you want to draft a skilled player, like a really good player?
Well, Pastrnak, I mean...
Like I'm just referencing maybe Jake O'Brien because he's more of a playmaker, like more of a Ryan O'Reilly type.
There's a lot of fear though with O'Brien
because of his injuries. Yeah,
that, you know, that has to come into consideration.
You're right, especially if you have to nail the pick like the Bruins.
If you have to nail the, and that's why I mentioned that at the beginning, because you tell us how you felt about last year's big injury risk.
Caden Lidstrom.
Exactly. Look,
right. He didn't play. He didn't play for almost the entire year.
He played in the Memorial Cup. That's where he played, which he showed where he showed he was still in shape. But it's a risk.
It's a loss of an entire year.
It's a huge risk. I think this will show that Boston. It won't be as easy to retool this team as people think. I think this team has a lot more holes than their not their fans, but the head office think. And at the end of the day, you have to say it like it is. They're in the most competitive division in the NHL right now. You have the Floridas, you have Toronto, you have Tampa Bay. It's already three teams in your division that are making the playoffs. And now then you have the upcomers there. You have Montreal. And so I think the next few years are going to be very important for Boston to draft well. Because if you remember that year they had the 12, 13, and 14, like three picks in a row in the first round, and they bombed on all of them except for, I think, Jake DeBrusk.
It was Jake DeBrusk, LeSchizin maybe. Yeah. And
So I think Boston needs to take a step back and realize that this retool is not going to be a one-year retool. It's going to be a 3-4-year retool. So, and if they go in with that...
Brady Martin,
it could be a really good addition to them.
Yeah. So, moving on to the Seattle Kraken.
Seattle. Okay, so I'm the Seattle Kraken. I've been told I've, you know, been with third liners and second liners and don't have a first liner on my team. But I look at my pipeline and I'm not discouraged, especially not forward, because... My forward pipeline, I have Matty Berniers, I have Shane Wright. So that's one, two sentiments who could easily be a number one, number two. I've always said I think Shane Wright is going to be ahead of Berniers, but to have Berniers as second line sentiment, not too shabby. Their system has to change. It's almost like a two of a defensive system for these two players. But so after that, then if you don't even think Shane Wright or Matty Berniers, you got Berkeley Gatton, who's in your prospects of last year. So, and then on the wing, I have a big winger. It's called Edward Sale. So I think up front, I am very well in my prospect pipeline. So right now, the thing to do for me is really build on my defensive line. I have Montour. I have Vince Dunn. But I need a young guy. And to me, the next defenseman... After Schaefer to go up is Jackson Smith. So to me, Jackson Smith is the second defenseman who comes off the board. I have to find him over here.
So I'll just mention elite prospects and what they say. Yeah. It's a dynamic offensive creator, explosive four-way mover, physical shutdown presence, and more, all in the same skill set. All roads lead to the NHL. But which path will he take?
Exactly. So I have basically the John comparisons are Shea Theodore and Morgan Riley. If you're Seattle, you want more to Shea Theodore than you want the Morgan Riley. But it's all due to his elite skating, defensive reliability, and the ability to contribute offensively. So to me, for Seattle, it's a no-brainer. I stacked up my prospect line for the forwards, so now it's time to concentrate on my defense. So Jackson,
it's very smart. Very smart.
I agree. Defenseman's the way.
6'3" also.
Defenseman's the way to go. I think either Jackson Smith or Mrtka. You couldn't really go wrong with either or.
All right, moving along to the Buffalo freaking Sabres.
They get the worst teams.
Buffalo Sabres have recently drafted plenty of defensemen first overall. It's the only team I know of that has two defensemen first overall under the age of 25. And what do we think Buffalo does here? Do they continue it with a defenseman or?
So I was thinking that. But then, you know, there's so much talk about Buffalo right now. The rumors coming out of Bowen Byram possibly being traded, or a guy like Alex Tuck, who's on the last year of his contract. If he doesn't want to sign an extension, do they trade him? You know, so I look at their centers, Tage Thompson, Josh Norris. I think that's a great 1-2 punch.
For Boston, Nick, you picked
Brady Martin.
There we go. Go ahead. I was missing him on the draft. That's why. On the interactive draft.
And then your pick.
So Buffalo Sabres, I think, have their number one, number two center. They have some young guys on the wing like Kulich, Benson. Tuck is still there. J.J. Paterka is still there.
For now.
For now. That's what makes it really hard. And I can't find my cursor here, so let's go here. I want to say defenseman, but I think why... Where's my cursor? Damn it.
Oh, crap. Junior.
I lost. I sharing a screen. It's a little more difficult. Anyways, I'm going to go with Victor Eklund.
I like it.
I think they can add a skilled winger like Victor Eklund. I do think he's a bit of an upgrade on Benson and Kulich. Not taking anything away from them. He's got a heavy shot, he's a consistent player. When he plays with offensively skilled players and reliable players like a Frondell, he excels even more. So if he's put in the right position, he's going to excel even more. It was him or Mertka, but I went with Eklund in the end.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't mind the pick that much. I still think that I would have gone Mertka here, but
with a defenseman,
it's just I can't go based off a trade they haven't made yet, right?
Exactly. You're right.
That's Bowen, the only Bowen thing. Byram is not traded yet, right?
So now you're right.
Right now they have Dahlin, Powers, and Byram. There's no space for Mertka, so
yeah.
I would go with.
To be completely honest,
no Roger McQueen here.
They're probably trading this pick because now if all those players are disgruntled. You as a management now you want to bring someone in to say okay we're for real now like we're gonna make changes
so
I think this pick is likely not even theirs by the time the draft comes but yeah McQueen would have been nice because of size I just figured because of Dahlin captain they want to maybe please him a little bit and maybe he could be like the big brother to an Eklund I made that
Swedish pick.
Yeah
well
what does the lead prospect say about him. Sorry, I thought you had it open.
Jeez, way to throw me under the bus.
Come on, man.
I was just moving on, you know? Like, we're 53 minutes into this podcast. But you're right. This is the number... What number are we at? This is number 10.
10.
So nine. This was pick this nine. Is nine. Okay, yeah. So yeah, Victor Eklund is actually the ninth-rated prospect as well on Elite Prospects. They say highly translatable and skilled winger, one of the best motors in the draft, in a physical game that supersedes his size. Mm-hmm. Strong bet to become a top six contributor. So we'll see if he becomes better than a Benson. I have my reservations on that. He's also under 6 foot slightly. But I do agree with you that he has the talent to go here. So I really don't know what Buffalo's going to do, and trading the pick is very, very likely. He provides shades of Seth Jarvis and Travis Konecny. So not bad players to have on Buffalo. Moving on to the top 10 pick, the number 10 pick in the Anaheim Mighty Ducks with the new orange jerseys. I think this is very difficult. I think this is very difficult. They have a history of picking really, really good defensemen. And I think that continues here. And I think that's where Mertka ends up going. If Buffalo doesn't take him, I think Mertka ends up being here in Anaheim. Roger McQueen's a possibility. According to Wheeler, that's what he had predicted in his mock. I just find that if I'm really looking at holes and trends and really what I'm predicting Anaheim to do, I think Mirka is the way to go from the Seattle Thunderbirds. Big, physical, and a heck of a shot, right? Like, this guy could literally turn into another Sider, and he's been compared to Sider in past mocks. So I really like this player here. I'll bring up the elite prospects because I spelling his name is always very difficult for me. But in the meantime, what do you guys think of this pick?
I don't know. I'm struggling with that pick just because they already have three defensemen on their in their prospect lines in Zellweger, Minchkov,
and Lacombe.
And Lacombe. So I know it's another big defenseman.
But neither of
Lacombe.
Them.
Lacombe, yeah.
Minchukov and Zellweger.
Minchukov.
But neither of those have his traits.
Yeah.
He has some traits that they don't have. And like, I don't think he'll be a power play one guy.
No, I think
but
that's
he's a perfect complement to a number one guy, a number one pairing. So,
mm-hmm. Is Lacombe necessarily a hard-hitting defenseman?
He could be if you wanted to. I mean, he has the yeah. build for it. If he develop, he can develop a bit more mass, muscle mass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty big boy.
I think it's very hard to find Mirkas. And Anaheim has had the history of drafting defensemen, even though they have defensemen.
Yeah.
And they tend to trade away some of their defensemen to make room for these younger guys to come in. So they're a defensive factory over there. And that's I think that's where my pick is coming in from.
Yeah. I like it. Listen, you win championships from the back going forward, right? So to stack up your defense and have four pillars, it's not a bad move either. So it's good.
Okay. We're coming into an hour in very, very
soon.
These next picks are going to come fast and furious.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
With less details.
We won't have as many insights, but we will just mention very quickly some very key stats, and that's it.
Okay, so basically, I'm next
Pittsburgh to the Penguins. You are on the clock.
Okay, so Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm losing my two top centermen within the next 2 to 3 years. So I'm drafting a centerman to rebuild this team. I'm losing Crosby, I'm losing Malkin. To me, there's two centermen that you could be looking at. You could be looking at either at Jake O'Brien, or you can look at Roger McQueen. The biggest thing for me is, at this point, I'm going for the guy who's going to give me the most points. The guy who's more electrifying offensively than a Roger McQueen, who's very good two-way and more defensive. So to me, Jake O'Brien, the numbers he put up for the Brantford Bulldogs in the OHL, 98 points in 66 games. I mean, it's not Mises 134 points, but still, 17 years old. So he's one of the younger draftees in this league. So to me, it's a Jake O'Brien. All the way for Pittsburgh, and we develop him to be number one or number two at some point.
I don't think it's a bad pick at all. I won't really. I said I wasn't going to comment, but there is something news that we wanted to add. They have spoken about the possibility or the need and want for the Pittsburgh Penguins to do size, and they really want to pick a big player here. So that's where I think that McQueen could also be an option here.
Well, O'Brien, the option will be those two.
6'2" O'Brien. He's not a small boy. So,
yeah. Average.
Who's next?
All right. Who's next on
the Great Apple?
Ooh.
The Big Apple.
The New York Rangers. So you picked O'Brien.
The city that never sleeps.
If I have to go with the New York Rangers, I think it's my turn or yours?
Yes.
No, it's my turn.
It's your turn. Go ahead. New York Rangers. You're on the clock.
Okay, so
thank God.
they're an aging team. They don't have a great prospect pool.
We said quicker, no?
If Jake O'Brien was available, that would have been the pick here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, I don't know if it's a little bit off the board, but where is he? He's a defenseman. I'm just going to find.
You're going D?
Yeah, I'm going with a little piece of nasty. Yeah. 6'2", 196 pounds from the OHL, Barry in the OHL. Kashawn Aitchinson. Ooh. He has so what I've read up on him is that he's a big physical defenseman. can handle the puck and get out of his zone. He's got a great first pass and all. But he's like a clutch goal scorer. So, like, he's not necessarily a big point producer, but he hasn't been asked really to do so. But he can produce when needed. And I think when you look at the Rangers lineup as it is right now, you have a guy like Andre Miller, who maybe was supposed to be that, but now there's already rumors of him possibly being traded. But Adam Fox, more of an offensive finesse guy. Braden Schneider, a little bit of the same. Will Borgen, a little bit of the same. I think they're missing a bit of that nasty, and I think Kashawn Aitchinson really provides that for them.
Yeah, I like this pick a lot. I was actually hoping he would fall to the Habs. Even though we have a lot of defensemen, you can never have enough defensemen. All right, next on the board, after the New York Rangers, we have the Detroit Red Wings.
The team who we always say will make the playoffs, but never do.
That's right.
It's a big offseason for them.
It's a very big offseason, a very big draft for them. Stevie Y, you are on the clock. And that's why I think that he's going to take his full 4 minutes here to decide what it is that he wants to do. No,
it gets tricky now.
It does get tricky, but there's a lot of good players left. Yeah. A lot of good players left. And there's one guy that I'm surprised he's even available around this range. And I'm just going to grab him here quickly on Elite Prospects so that I could give you guys all the information.
Is his last name Rabbit?
Very close. It is Bear.
Oh!
So Carter Bear from the Everett Steel Tips is who I'm going with here. Just a phenomenal player. Like, he's an intense competitor, fearless, physical, always makes something happen. Again, shades of Braden Hagel, maybe. Shades of Seth Jarvis. I mean, I would love something like that on Detroit. Yeah. Because when I look at Detroit right now, I'm showing a lot of good players, a lot of very similarly talented players, a lot of two-way guys. But I just want that fierce competitor that could also play make. And I'm saying Carter Bear is a left winger that could come in here and really make a difference at 6 foot, 179 pounds. I think Stevie White could hit this one out of the park with this.
I really, really like Carter Bear.
Yeah.
I really like Carter Bear.
82 points in 56 games for the Everett Steel Tips in the WHL.
Very, very nice.
All right. After the Detroit Red Wings, who was number 13.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh. You are on the clock.
At 14, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So basically, I feel very good about my team right now. They had an awesome season. They kind of ran out of gas towards the end to make that playoff push. But still, like, the whole, everything, all the adversity they went through last year, it created some character with some of those players. A potential superstar broke out in Marchenko with that team. Another potential prospect, I think we can all say he's a superstar now, is Fantilli, who showed that he can really be an elite player on that team. So their prospect line is very, very, very good. But there's still some holes that they'd like to fill. Unfortunately, they had to trade a disgruntled player in David Jiříček because he basically thought he was higher than some of the other defensemen that they had. So to me, I'm going with Cameron Reed over here for Columbus. He plays Kitchener Rangers. I mean, elite skating, strong defensive instincts, and abilities to contribute offensively. He's a two-way defenseman with excellent mobility, strong gap control, and an offensive upside. 54 points in 67 games for the Kitchener of the OHL. Comparisons, I mean, Josh Morrissey and Duncan Keith, I mean, they're not too shabby. So to me, they would want to just have a few more options on that defensive end prospect line. So I'd go with Cameron Reed.
Very nice. Very nice. At number 15, we have the Vancouver Canucks.
Guys, is it just me or is Roger McQueen still on the board?
You just had to ruin the suspense, didn't you?
Well, Roger McQueen's going to be a Vancouver Canuck.
I agree.
6 foot five, 197 pound center from Brandon of the Western. Is it Brandon Wheat Kings of the Western Hockey League? Yeah, this guy's got. He's got size. He's got a strong net front presence, great puck movement. Look, there's I think he has a little bit of injury issues too. For a while, maybe 2-3 years ago, he was projected to be the next big thing. I think he even had exceptional status when he was drafted. The thing with Roger McQueen is that he lacks a little bit of consistency with his playing, obviously. Doesn't always show the intensity, but I think these are all things that you can learn. These are all habits that you can learn when you get into the NHL or start developing to become an NHLer. So give me Roger McQueen. It's something the Vancouver Canucks don't have, and they're going to need it with the departures of Besser and who knows what's happening with Pettersson. The one thing they say about Pettersson is that he's lacking a bit of grit and physicality, and I think Roger McQueen brings all that Pettersson is not, but won't bring the offensive upside that a Pettersson has, that's for sure. I like where they are on defense, so I went more on the forward side of things. And Roger McQueen at 15 would be a massive steal in my eyes.
All right, then I have the honor, the privilege,
bum, bum, bum,
to be Celine Dion for this 2025 draft. Ooh,
look a little
and
pretty.
And pick for the Montreal. Yeah, I look pretty good.
Arga Chenu.
So I know you all want me to go with a guy de Chenu. And whoever's next, which I believe it's Vince, maybe that's what you pick with the next pick, because the Habs do have back-to-back 16th and 17th overall. But to me, it just makes way too much sense to go out there and grab what this team, what the Kent Hughes said that we needed, and that's size. And Lyndon Lakovich is available as a 6'4" from 200-pound left winger from Moose Jaw. Lakovich is, I think, the best player on the board here. But not only is he the best player on the board, he has the size, the physicality. He has everything that you're looking for to be that winger on the other side of Demidov. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it, because they made a pick similar to this in the Slafkovský pick. Now you add, he doesn't play very physical, but he has the size. He's hard to bump off the puck. He's a fluid mover with dual threat scoring and control of the game. There's, physicality is the next step. He's not really physical, but he does remind people of a Dylan Cozen style, right? And how nice would it be to have somebody like Dylan Cozen on the Habs right now? I really like this 6'4" player who could play either side of the wings. And if you put him to create room for a guy like Demidov, I think that's just great, great for the team.
I like it. And for the Habs 17th pick overall, I would go with the guy from Chenu. It does, whether we like it or not, because he is a guy to Chenu with back-to-back picks.
We are expecting one of these picks to be traded by the Habs.
Well, maybe both picks, but let's say the Habs keep these two picks. I think Justin Carbonneau is the next pick for the Habs. He's a winger. He's in the. The Habs were missing people who wanted to go into the corners and do the dirty work. And I think Justin Carbonneau is just that player. He's that winger that will go through a forecheck, has offensive ability, has excellent puck handling, and his shot is deceptive. Like he can put it on net. So to me, his ability to not be afraid to go into the corners, his ability to play the dirty areas, matching him with a skilled player like, let's say, a Demidov or whatever, he'll do the dirty work, take the puck out of the corners, and then distribute to Demidov will just help the Habs in that way. So I feel Carbonneau is a guy from Chenu. He'll probably spend a few years down in Laval to develop, but I think he can be a good fit for the Montreal Canadiens.
To be honest, I think a lot of these picks this year's draft might spend a lot of time
developing
before they reach the end. Even when we talk about Schaefer, maybe Schaefer, as a first overall pick, maybe mm-hmm. he does come, but I wouldn't mind seeing him in the AHL for a year, in the minors a year, because he did come off a big injury, didn't play a lot. So I don't see any of these guys really cracking the lineup unless the Islanders go ahead and pick Misa.
Well, on the speaking of not cracking the lineup, like you said, I'm going to go with the Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames pick at 18.
You are on the clock.
And I think when you're at this point in the draft, in a draft that is not deep, you're looking for a high floor more than high ceiling. Mm. And
interesting.
I think the Calgary Flames go with Cole Reshny, a center from Victoria of the Western Hockey League. He has the ability to create space through playmaking. He's a two-way. He has two-way engagement. He's effective in all situations. He's a strong face-off guy. So these are all little things that get you an NHL spot, that earn you an NHL spot. And I think Calgary did a good job on D, brushing up their D with Parekh. I think they traded for Bruce Tuitts. So they're doing good things on that end. I think they're in need of some offense and some forwards. And here, the best value pick for me is Cole Reshny, just because he can have that Kadri-esque role in your middle six going forward. And I think it's almost like a bookmark, if you want, because that's his floor.
See, I would have gone with Bushkovich just so we could have two Bushkoviches on the same time. Kind of like the Vancouver Canucks did with all the Pettersons.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would have been
just
a fun story.
Easier to pronounce.
You know, yeah, Bushkovich. Guys, the 19th overall pick is going to the St. Louis freaking Blues, and they are a fun team to watch.
Uh-huh.
They hit on the offer sheets so far. They have a young core. They look like they're going to be coming up. And I think this is the area where you turn around and say, what is it that I could get in the draft this year that might be able to help my team shore up or maybe replace, potentially, mm-hmm. a guy like their captain,
ooh.
Who is aging right now. And his name is escaping.
Shen?
Yes, thank you. Brady Shen. And that's where I go with Braden Coutts. So
Braden Coutts
is a 5'11" from Seattle, weighs 183 pounds. He is one of the top centers left on the board, and I really think that this team could use that other center in their pipeline. I know they have Dvorak. Do not yell at me, Twitter. I know that they have Dvorak. I think you cannot have enough centers. And if Dvorak doesn't pan out as exactly what you think, like a top sixer.
Who's Dvorak? Dvorsky?
Dvorsky, I'm sorry. They have Dvorsky. If Dvorsky doesn't come and turn out to be the top six center, at least you have a backup plan here with Coutts. Brandon Coutts from the Seattle Thunderbirds. He is rated here as a one-man forechecking machine. He looks like an NHLer already. Flashes of dynamic play driving and top six potential. But, like I said, maybe ends up as a middle sixer. Uh-huh. And between him and Dvorsky, we'll see who gets to be the second liner. His comparison is Vincent Trocheck.
Nice. So, at 20, basically I'm back with Columbus. So, this is all like luck, but I think I should be hired as the Columbus Blue Jackets GM right now.
Oh,
because, I mean, come on. Okay, so Columbus, basically, I told you guys about the team, about what they're missing, and there's another position where they're just shit out of luck, we'll say. Okay, Merzlinkis, we all know that Waddell is not a fan. Okay, Tarasov had his chance this year and didn't perform very well.
Are you going goalie?
I am going.
Jed Greaves, my friend.
Whoa. No.
Yeah, Greaves looks good.
Greaves? No, I'm not going with Greaves, my friends. I am going with...
Greaves is already drafted by them.
Exactly. I'm going with Joshua Ravensbergen. That's what it's... Ravensbergen. Prince George Cougars in WHL.
Nice pick.
Listen, I think Columbus needs a prospect in their goaltending. His numbers were not crazy. I mean, goals against average 3, save percentage 901. But the big thing is he's 6'5". So
there you go.
I mean, he fills up in his body. He'll fill up a bit more of the net. So for Columbus, I'm going goaltending.
I like it. I like the idea. Next on the clock is the Ottawa freaking Senators. Now,
who made the playoffs?
Who made the playoffs? Unfortunately, a lot of the players that I would have maybe gone for here are not available. I think they have some good depth already in center. They have Sanderson already. That's going to be the defensive linchpin for a very, very long time. Oh, sorry, it's you. Yes, go ahead. You are on the clock, Ottawa.
You missed that, Nick.
Well, since you said they have so many centermen, I'm just going to add another one. 5'10" and Arizona State. Cullen Potter. He's selected to go a little later in the draft, but I really like
Ottawa
this guy.
Always surprises.
Ottawa always surprises, and I think lately I've been hearing a little bit more about him. So his strengths are skating, athleticism, speed, acceleration, edge work. Basically, he's a skater. He's a forechecker. He's offensively aware. He's good with handling the puck. But he's going to be your middle sixer, put pressure. Like, he would fit in like a Carolina Hurricanes system best. But I think Ottawa centers could use a player like this when they're ready to contend, which is going to be soon. So he could come in as a young guy playing on the bottom six and giving something that they lack a little bit. Even though he's small, he's what's that word I'm looking for when you don't stop?
High motor,
like he's relentless. He's relentless. Yeah. His motor just keeps going. So I think Cullen Potter here is the pick.
All right, moving on to the Philadelphia Flyers, second first round pick. Who did they go with the first time? Can we scroll down there?
Yeah, the Philly.
Yeah, who did we pick for Philly the first time?
Desonier.
Okay, now they don't really have a lot of centers, but they already picked a center this draft. I don't think that they're going to go back to the center well. And this is where I think that they go and they grab a Blake Fiddler. Ooh. Now, I like Blake Fiddler. He has the size. He has mobility. He has NHL bloodlines. Like 6'4", 209 pounds. Right shot defenseman. One of the toolsiest defensemen in the draft, according to Elite Prospects, with plus level mobility and flashes of exciting puck skills. But his calling card is shutting down the opposition. And I just feel that Philadelphia could really use that type of defenseman. It even helps a lot more that he's right shot, right? did I mention he's right shot? I go with Blake Fiddler here.
Nice.
I really like Philadelphia's draft, by the way, just letting you guys know.
And then we're back on the board with Nashville, a team that was supposed to compete this year, like we all know, and yet they have three first round draft picks this year. Yeah. So with Nashville, I mean, they're looking just to suit up their pipeline. And at the end of the day, to me, there's two players that they could have gone for. And to me, I'd go with the left winger for Mary, Malcolm Spence. 63 games, 32 goals, 41 assists. I think he committed to Michigan for next year in the NCAA. 6'2", big boy that likes to crash the boards. So I think Nashville could use some of that and just have some depth in the prospect line. So to me, I'd go with Malcolm Spence.
Very nice, very nice. Moving on to the LA Kings, pick number 24. Junior, you are on the clock.
So they're 26th, according to Scott Wheeler in the NHL prospect pool ranking, so they also need a lot of work. They had some fails on defense, and I think they're going to give it another crack. They're going to draft out of Boston University. One second here. Out of Boston University, 6'2", 176 pound defenseman, Sasha Boumediene. Now, what I like about this guy is that he brings a high-end offensive production. He's super, super skilled and offensive, but lacks a lot of the other things that make you an NHLer. So I think they take a chance here when they pick like this deep in the draft. Given that they're contenders, I think you take a chance on him, especially that Clark hasn't really panned out yet. He has above-average skating ability and speed. He's got a great combination of speed and size, but he doesn't really use his size and embrace the physicality. So that's something he's got to work on. But to me, the inevitable pick here should be Sasha Boumediene.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. Moving on, after the LA Kings, we have the Chicago Blackhawks.
They just got Michael Misa in the second overall.
They got Michael Misa second overall, and this is the reason why I think that they're actually going to go defenseman here. I do like a lot of the defensemen that they have, and, you know, you can never have too many defensemen, but I kind of want somebody that's going to bring a little bit more size, a little bit more toolsiness, somebody that could play multiple roles on the defense. And maybe this guy's only going to end up being a second pairing guy. But with a right-handed defenseman at this stage of the draft, Logan Hensler is my pick. American-born, he's a play killer. He's been improving throughout the whole season, according to Elite Prospects. And there's more offense to give there. So right now, he's very defensive defenseman, but there is an opportunity for him to provide more offense as well. And yeah, Logan Hensler is my pick here.
Nice. So if I don't get the Columbus job, I'll get the Nashville job because I'm picking for Nashville again. And once again, Nashville is all about bolstering their prospect pipeline. They just traded their young goalie, Askarov, to San Jose. So to me, they're going to try to get another guy in the system. So the next goalie up to go is Jack Yankovic.
Really?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be following the Michigan Wolverines because he committed to Michigan also. So, yeah, I think they're. I mean, right now their team doesn't need much because they want to be playoff contenders. So these players are just there to boost up the prospect line and develop and have time to develop. So I think this is the perfect time to pick the goalie and have at least a goalie as a backup besides Saros.
I don't know if he's going to go in the top six rounds of this draft.
Ooh. Six rounds? Yeah. Wow.
And the reason is because he doesn't have anywhere near the talent of a Dustin Wolf, but he has the same size as Dustin Wolf.
He's 5'11".
Yeah. He's going to scare a lot of teams away. So
I'm not scared.
Right, and you are the only person that counts here because you are the GM of that team of the Nashville Predators. Washington Junior. Capitals, you are on the clock, Mr. Junior.
Yeah, so the Washington Capitals have a pretty solid decor, a relatively young decor with Cole Hudson coming up. They already have Jacob Chychrun, who's 27, so he ain't going anywhere, and signed a long-term deal. Rasmus Sandin's only 25, so I'm staying away from defense here. What I do think they need, because even the prospects at forward, neither of them are centers. They've got Christelle, they've got Leonard. I think even Parasak is not a center. So I'm going to go with a Parasak's right winger? Yeah. So I'm going to go with a 6'4". A lot of big guys on this draft, eh?
A lot of size.
6'4", 185 pound from Windsor of the OHL, Jack Nesbitt.
I like Jack Nesbitt a lot.
Where would he go? Washington. You know, like they needed him, right? Well,
They have a tendency of drafting all kinds of skill.
And you know what? He's got my favorite trait as a strength, which is hockey IQ. That goes a long way to making the NHL. He's got size, shot, physicality, a great awareness. Not the best skater. Not the quickest skater either, so he's got to work a little bit on his skating, which I think can be done. But given the fact that Dylan Strome is their number one center right now, I feel like they're just missing a little depth at center, and Jack Nesbitt would be the perfect fit here.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, moving on to pick number 28, and we go on to the Winnipeg Jets. Ladies and gentlemen, the Winnipeg Jets, very, very good team. Won the President's Trophy. Unfortunately, doesn't pass the first couple of rounds very often. But
I wonder why.
They almost lost the first round to St. Louis. But their kind of prospects are like, I really like some of the younger guys that they had, but a lot of them have graduated. I think it's time to just replenish some of that defensive pipeline as well. And Logan Stanley is one of the guys that they have that's pretty young. But I want Henry Bruschkowitz here.
You just wanted to say his
you
name.
Just want, right? Yeah, I just want to say his name. But 6 foot, almost 6 foot two, 6 foot one and three quarters, 203-pound defenseman from London. He was paired with Sam Dickinson for much of the year. And he's just a perfect complement, I think, to... And spelling his name, by the way, it's going to be super fun to do. But he's the perfect complement to a... He's not going to play with Morrissey because he's still a few years away, but like a high activity blue liner, well-rounded toolkit. He looks to create on every puck touch. I just feel like this is a potential replacement one day for Morrissey style, right? Mm-hmm. He has shades of Rasmus Sandin, which is not necessarily the best, but we are picking here in the late 20s. Almost 30. So I think Winnipeg can't go wrong with a leader like this.
Yeah, listen, I think the website is a bit confused. 29 should be Carolina, right? Because they have Calgary on the website.
Yes, it's Carolina.
It's Carolina, so they have what? So as for Carolina, listen,
maybe they're predicting a trade.
Maybe they are predicting a trade, you never know. But at this point, I'm going with... last man standing, just going pure talent and see if I can develop.
Which Carolina does often.
Yes, well, with Chet Jarvis as it goes. So I would go with right winger, Ben Kindle. I mean, Benjamin Kindle, 65 games played, 99 points in the WHL with the Calgary Hitmen. He's 5'10", small size, but I mean, when you got this much pure talent, I think it's just a goal for that.
All right, next on the board is San Jose with number 30th overall. Junior, what does San Jose need here?
So we know they have all the skill in the world, right? They're pretty stacked. Their prospect pool is pretty stacked. So I'm going more in terms of need here. What do they need? They need a bit of size. They need a bit of physicality with the potential of having an offensive touch. I am going out of the queue. Playing with Rouyn Nouranda, 6'2", right winger, 187 pounds, Bill Zonin, who, by the way, killed it on the pull-ups at the combine. great intensity, work ethic, and drive. Very good qualities to make the NHL. Strong awareness, playmaking instincts, strong speed, footwork, and agility, puck protection, and ability to win battles. So he has all the things that would be great to complement the Will Smiths, the Chernyshovs, the Celebrinis, and who did we have them picking in this draft? Michael Misa?
No, Misa went to Chicago, right?
Oh, yeah, no, they get, what's it called? They pick second overall. Who did you give them at second?
I don't know. Who did you give them at second?
What are you going to give them now?
Michael Misa.
Matron was there.
Yeah, so he's a great complement to these more skillful guys, and I think he can earn himself a nice spot there, and could probably reap the benefits of playing with them as well in terms of fantasy relevance. So give me Bill Zonin to the San Jose Sharks.
All right, guys. It is pick number 31, the Calgary Flames. Only one pick left after this, but Calgary is freaking excited. They are excited because they are going out there and they are grabbing the fastest skater in the draft, Cameron Schmid. He is tiny. He is 5'7¼". Okay, don't forget the quarter. He is a right-handed left winger. And think of Alex DeBrincat if you put a firecracker up his wazoo. he's a high-end shooter, electrifying rusher, surprisingly physical for his size, and has a special to make the NHL. We'll see if he could adapt to the league, but... if I'm thinking of a Theo Fleury-type player, this is the kind of guy that I'm thinking about. So I really like Cameron Schmid. I think he's going to go higher than this just because of the fact that he's so electrifying. But who knows? At 5'7", you don't know if he's going to make it to the NHL, right? It's a little bit of a hard one.
Well, look, Poirier was drafted last year by Carolina, and he was 5'7".
Yeah, exactly.
Not in the first round, but he was
not in the first round. But Cameron Schmid is just like one of those fantasy guys that you know he's going to go much higher in fantasy, right?
Yeah. Okay, 78 points in 61 games.
Yeah.
In the Western Hockey.
Vancouver Giants.
So basically, after that, Philly is the last pick that we
last pick of the draft.
We Philly, made it, guys. We clock. Made it.
So like
Philly's
I said,
had a great draft by the way so far.
Everyone's had a great draft. We should all be Philly's GMs.
If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see there's the four last teams where the website kind of mixed up the teams. So just listen to our picks instead of looking at them. But to me, Philly, you go with pure talent. You go with a player who has smooth skating, offensive creativity, and the ability to control the pace of the game. And my pick is... I had him. Where did he go? Ivan. Where are you, Ivan? Ivan Reinbeken.
Yes, who? I like that a lot, actually.
Ivan Reinbeken.
I just want you to say it again. Who?
Ivan Reinbeken. So, yeah, ooh, I would go. He's a centerman. Ooh. You can never have enough centermans in your prospect pipeline, so they're easier to transform into wingers than wingers are centermans. So that's why I would go with him as a.
There was a lot of talk of him being a very high pick in this draft during his development years, and he fell off big time. But the potential is there for sure. Yeah, I like
exactly.
That.
It's a nice high upside pick for the last pick of the first round.
Yeah, high risk, but.
Yeah.
Potentially very high reward. Well, that's what you go for at the beginning of the second or end of the first.
Yeah. Guys, that was a great one. I really enjoyed it. Good Congratulations. Job. The draft is now over. I hope you guys enjoyed this content because it's coming to you again in a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah.
We're also going to have Victor Nuno on.
We are.
As a special guest.
Next episode.
Is that next episode already? No, I think it's the one after that.
No, we're doing the prospect rankings next episode. So stay tuned for that.
Fantasy prospect rankings next episode.
And then
we're going to go over those prospect rankings with Nuno. It's all draft coverage for you guys because this is the draft season. Florida won, I think, 5-2.
6-1.
6-1. There you go. 6-1.
And if it wasn't already in your face on YouTube or you're not watching YouTube, follow us on the socials. Instagram, X, TikTok, at Partial Break Pod. Like, subscribe on YouTube.
Download.
And, download, guys. Download and review. Give us reviews on Spotify, Apple, whatever, wherever you listen. We're there.
You guys don't even have to listen. Just download. Just download. Enjoy. No, hit the like button. We like those likes.
It's a great time to be following the NHL with the Stanley Cup Finals, the prospects, the draft. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I hope you guys actually enjoyed this episode. I know I did. And hopefully we gave you some insight to some of these players.
Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week, Beeps.